Blog Talk Radio.
That is awesome.
That song was The Lady in Red by Christopher John Davidson, known as Christopher. He's a British-Irish singer, songwriter, and instrumentalist. He started out as an art rock performer, but subsequently started writing more pop-oriented material. He had several top 40 hits in the UK and two in the US, but he is more popular in other countries, particularly Norway and Brazil. His 1986 love song, The Lady in Red, reached number one in several countries. The Berg has sold over 45 million albums worldwide and is responsible for introducing his music to the mainstream audience worldwide. The song was written in reference to his wife, Diane, who used to come and watch him perform at his parents' hotel. The Lady in Red was a massive hit across the world, quickly becoming his best-selling single and his signature song, transforming him from a cult artist into a household name in many countries. It reached number one in Canada, the UK, Ireland, Norway, Flanders region of Belgium. It also reached number three in the U.S. during the spring of 1987. The song also propelled his parent album, The Light, to the number two position in the U.K. and success in other markets. The song was De Burgh's third U.K. single and the first to reach the top 40, The Lady in Red. Hello, everyone. It's me, Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a poetry group that hangs out at allpoetry.com, one of the biggest poetry sites out there. If you're in earshot and you'd like to call in, the number is 1-646-668-2837. If you're not a member, you can join for free. Look us up under the tab for groups. If you are already a member of allpoetry.com, you can also check us out at the tab for groups and knock on the door, and I'll meet you there. I'm here tonight with my big brother and co-host, Jay Hedder. Hey, Hedder.
Unmuted. Yeah, that sound that Christopher's got, it's very much like Phil Collins, his ex sidekick, what's his name? But they do that power crash on the drums. So it's echoing.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I don't know, but I do want to say that there's a line waiting to get in, starting with my sweet. Sweet. How you feeling,
Doc? Hello. Okay. I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. Sorry. I'm doing okay.
Better than you sound, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Gotta quarantine your phone.
I know.
Right?
I have to. I tell you what, Blog Talk does things. Just saying.
Right? Yeah, I know. One, two, three, almost four. It's like, no. And right behind Sweet is Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life, our dynamic duo. Hey.
Hello.
Glad you're here.
Genesis.
And right behind them is Frank. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And one more. Wayne, is that you?
It was me.
Yeah.
Hey. Welcome to the show.
You throw a sky, and a pretty bird in there. We got A-team. Precious Hope.
A-team.
Precious Hope. Yeah.
Well, we already have an A-team. It would just be a bigger A-team, right?
Yeah.
There you go. See, aren't you glad to have me around, Hedder?
We could take over the world.
Yep.
I love having you around.
Oh, I love having you around too, Hedder. You're the best big brother ever. And let me see here. Now, let me see. Usually we start off with Stephen and Kay, but I'm going to have to ask you guys to just give me 5 minutes because I want to get Sweet back out of here so she can lay back down, if that's okay. I know you've been on the radio all night, but I want to send her back to bed.
Thank you.
Sweet, it's right there.
Yeah.
Kick us
okay.
off.
Hello. Let me take a big drink, and then I'll read fast and get gone and not hack through anybody's poetry. Chicago Devil. There is a New York state of mind to survive. A sexual heat in the blue jazz notes of New Orleans. But Chicago will let you lay down. The devil and a smile. She sat in the orange glow light of her cigarette burning to ash. A Scarlett O'Hara damsel in distress. Screw you kind of story. Wrong fairy tale. This dame burns her cinnamon candle at both ends. Her red dress flowed a sweet fire that dances flames across her. On the bench, the curve of her spoke in sighs of dissatisfaction as she watched the world scream in silence at her existence. Hunted by witches of all sizes and conditions, dying to own the power of her Dorothy's ruby red slipper attitude. Jokes on you, sisters, mirror each green-eyed monsters. Men of desperation hide in the shadows. She eats pretenders, the heartbroken, brainwashed in the weak she devours. Drinking sweet cherry wine and nights in her arms, all leave weaker. The whispers of monsters behind bathroom doors and slender hands sometimes weigh her down, but her blue eyes quivered. Her blue eyes quivered, but her teardrops always freeze before they fall. On the bench, in a dress that sets fire to a room, she waits for her next con, to whisper sweet nothings, for in Chicago, you can lay down with the devil and smile. End poem.
My, oh my. I like where you went with this. Now, the Chicago devil, very interesting. And I love the play on the songs in there, like the New York State of Mind. And then jazz notes from New Orleans. And I think that's all really cool. Hunted by witches of all sizes and conditions. I feel like I'm in the middle of the Originals episode, except they are in New Orleans. And the whispers of monsters behind bathroom doors, the slender hands, sometimes weigh her down. I like the way you played with this. I skipped right past it. Dying to own the power of her Dorothy red, ruby red slippers attitude. I think that's a fantastic line. How did I just skip right past it? I'm an idiot. Anyway, and the green-eyed monsters. So like, yeah, she just sitting there looking like she doesn't have a care in the world. As a matter of fact, she might just own the world, and I liked it. You put the devil in
there.
Thank you. And let me get you some comments so you go to bed. Hatter, comment for you.
the whole impression of a single lady is sitting at the bar dressed in red in some beautiful gown. Is she out there praying on somebody, on something? I mean, the impression is, am I right?
Oh yeah. It's not an impression. She
okay.
is.
So you hit it when men of depression hide in the shadows. She eats pretenders and the heartbroken, brainwashed and the weak. Yeah, I sort of covered it. Very good. You're very, very good at capturing what mood you want the reader in. I'm in the mood.
Thank you. Don't make you laugh, Heather.
Don't make people who are trying not to cough laugh. Shame on you, Heather.
Sorry.
But it was an awesome.
That's okay.
I'm teasing you.
I love
it. It was an awesome comment. Yeah,
it was a great comment.
And let me get one from Wayne, please.
Yes.
Wayne? Does it sound like he's trying to talk?
I don't know if he does it underwater.
At first it
Wayne,
sounded like
we,
he was trying.
We can't hear you.
Okay, hear me now?
It sounds like a broken microphone.
Yeah,
that just
now
was turned off. I was
there it
the
is.
Room, kind of. Okay, this is just too cool. It's a great reading, a wonderful story there, Sweet. Beautiful take on the red dress. It's great all the way through. You said, but her teardrops always freeze before they fall. She's cold as ice and blazing hot at the same time. And I love this poem. Great job you did on this. And get well.
Thank you, babe.
And Frank, please.
Yes, I thought the poem had a 1920s view. I almost thought of Mae West here, and I thought of El Capone there as well. I like that little aspect there of the storytelling you bring in with the notion there of, you say, the New York state of mind, and then you bring us into Chicago, you know. This poem just really, you know, brought the 1920s for me, you know, and looking at that prompt there. But you did an excellent job. The way you always bring in emotions, creativity in your pieces and your metaphors, your imagery are always striking. I always enjoy your writing because you always seem to rise to the challenge of any type of genre, and in particular, you know, this type of genre, you know, that has a bit of dark overtures to it. But I really like the way you carried this piece on with that, just that savoir faire. It had a bit of savoir faire in this piece.
Thank you, Frank. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. And I hope you get better. I hope truly.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Great comment. And Stephen, will you comment for Sweet?
Yeah. Am I unmuted?
I don't know.
Yes, I am. Okay.
You are.
I like this. I like this too. I like how you lead off with a little nod to Billy Joel, as you know, because I am a Billy Joel fan. But the picture did make me think of the musical Chicago, so I thought it's cool that you took that direction as well. But then you bring in darkness in your character with frozen tears of past trauma. I thought this was an excellent write.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And then, Kay, will you make the last comment and then read your read your poem for us?
Yeah, well, you know, to me, it sounds like, this is my comment, sounds like a man that knows how to play, but she is more murderous than him. It made me think a little bit when you were listening to the news tonight, because I was actually speaking about American Horror Story Coven, the blues man, the axe man of New Orleans, speaking about Danny Houston. Mm-hmm. I like how you speak about the Avenues of Red, because it tells the story of the devil being in the details.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that.
Awesome.
I like the
comment
a lot, Kay.
She's, you know, there's like there's Supergirl and Batwoman. She's super commenter, and the
yeah.
What would the other one be? The most numeric comment? No, I'll think of a word for that one. But before you read, Kay, Sweet, do you want to push your show in case you're up for Thursday before you go?
To be honest with you, I really haven't even thought about my show. I've been in bed for 3 days. So I'll have a show on Thursday, I hope. How's that? That's the best I can do.
That's fine. Absolutely, absolutely fine. And if you can't do it, don't. But I appreciate your calling, and your poem was awesome, and so are you. But get off my phone and go to bed. I love you.
Good night, everybody.
The cat.
Talk to you soon. All right.
Good
night. Bye.
Bye. Take care, sweetie.
My. Okay. Dear Kay, the super commenter, will you please take us away with your poem?
Okay. Yes. I call this Kiss of Lightness and Scarlet Flames Her Earth. Moorish is a haymaker, trellis in the swirls of land betwixt her skirting. Hurricane courser, this mislaid and lanterns blush of faints. Company of clocks, skeletons be damned, shouldered in hearths of countryside as garnets of reds, not rust, but bloom and vines of seedless plant in a topiary, climate in face. Silently, kettle in her meddling and domesticated truth, cinnabar significant, with her feet, barefoot in nature, whispers her song. Placid and unruffled thickets and wildwood coppices, comfortability of home and home.
Moorish is the haymaker. For some reason, it took me to Wuthering Heights just in within those words there. Trestling the swirls of land betwixt her skirting. Talk about amazing word. And trestling, wow, because of all the flower petals and stuff, really cool. silently netting her melting and domesticated truths, but I really love the ending as her barefoot in nature whispers her song, placid in unruffled thickets in wildwood. Wildwood is not too far from me. It's a beach town. And in the middle of all that, you gave me this glimpse of the beach, which, you know, I have no doubt has nothing to do with your poem whatsoever, but I can't help it. It gave me an extra little bonus at the end, so I thought I'd mention it. And then one other thing, even though I know I'm stealing all the lines, planting a topiary. I love the word topiary. I don't know why I try to use it whenever possible. It's just, I love the word. Crazy me. But this is an awesome share. But like I said, starting out with the word Moorish put me in a definite time period. And a 10. 323. You go, girl. Amazing share. Thank you so much. Let me get you some comments, too. Hatter, what you think about Kay's poem? Unmute.
Yeah, unmuted. Okay, maybe. Jesus. Okay.
There
he is. Let me start over. Yeah. Start off okay. Never good the second time. Okay, I was commenting on the picture. You can surely feel the wind, and that's got to be a picture of Kay doing yard work, probably.
We'll go with that.
She's doing yard work with Steven Snowblower.
Very, very, very well done.
Thank you.
And Frank, will you comment for Kay, please?
Oh, yes. I also gravitated to that reference there of the moorland. That was something that really was striking for me, you know, looking at the prompt there. If you get a chance to go out to a moorland, you know, and particularly in the UK, it's a vast tract of open land. This definitely makes the images of this poem even seem much more real. And I could not help but think about, you know, just taking a jaunt on the moorland. Your poem really made her even more real. It was so surreal at times, you know, when I was listening and getting those images in my mind to just place her, you know, like get into the picture there and place that thought there. I thought you did an excellent job of just conveying through your imagery, her plight and her as well.
Thank you, Frank.
Are you?
Great comment, Frank. And Wayne, what do you think?
I enjoyed it. Great little trip out the horsey pants or little garden, sounds like. I love the part where it says, as her feet barefoot in nature whispers her song. That's a lovely line right there. It's great all the way through. It's kind of like a little garden poem. We have to go see all the details in it. Did a good job, Kay. I love it.
Thank you.
Great comment, Wayne. And Stephen, will you comment for Kay?
Yeah, I like this a lot. I told you in my original comment that there's a lot to take in this, and as usually there is. But I really like the use of haymaker, because when I think of haymaker, I am a boxing fan. And a haymaker is usually a pretty powerful punch. Mm-hmm. So you really, really bring us in with a powerful punch right at the start. So that's really cool, I think. Mm-hmm. But like I said, really what I saw in here was snippets of you, of us, and of our home. I thought it's a beautiful brevity.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment, Stephen. And I'll tell you what, how about we do it the other way around this time? Why don't you tell us what's going on over at A Poetic Slice this week before you read.
Okay, let's see. Our next show is Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It will be our monthly visit with Edgar Allan Poe, and we're going with the short story, The Cask of Amontillado. We have quotes from that short story, And we're also recommending, if you have the time, to go over to YouTube, because there's actually the short stories available to listen to, and it only takes about 15, 20 minutes. So it's a very, very short story to give you some inspiration to write to. And that's at 10 p.m. on Wednesday. And Thursday, we're going to celebrate Paul Stanley's birthday by listening to Kiss at the Movement of Sound. And we'll learn about those Kiss songs, and we'll read some poems inspired by those Kiss songs. And something different with the request on Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, more winter prompts, personify winter or write about a beautiful winter day or your favorite winter memory.
Ooh. Sounds like I better get myself busy then. Some great topics, as always. Your link is right above Hatter's. And if you would read that for us, and Hatter, you can read right after Stephen.
Okay.
Did you want to say something? I'm sorry. Hatter?
No, I just put it there because I had to put it somewhere, and I was falling behind. I wanted to follow Kay, so I just back at that. I didn't mean to force my way into it.
Okay, Stephen, please.
This picture made me think of a banshee. So I went a little personal, as I've done before, and also keeping to the myth or the lore that the banshee is always tied to Irish shores. So even though she's trying to shout out to people in America, Irish people in America, to let them know somebody's dying, we can't hear them because they're stuck on Ireland and feel like failures. And that's the way that I took it. It's called Eternal Tears of Blood. Confined to rocky-shored Emerald Isle fair, confronting hostile gale ocean air, raising voice over rough west sea, spindrift waves volley back to Red Banshee. Tangled strands of cherry locks and warby silver hairbrush, singing reaper's song of ghostly tufted thrush, moisture all but now expelled, imprisoned in this phantom hell. Wanting to warn blood family in the new world, how death hits and quickly unfurls. Aunt Jerry to join Uncle Joe. Scarlet Ghost needs them to know. Wraithy chaining tether will not break. Ruby barms run down her cheeks blush flakes. Aunt Marcy dying while Uncle Don weeps. But through Oriton wind, wailing voice won't seep. With head held low and failing felt, to fairy mound where posts are dealt, where no sprites stay to see you cry, or assuage your dismal west wind sigh. End poem.
Wow, Stephen. So many, where do I take? Tangled strands of cherry locks in warby silvered hairbrush, singing reaper's song of ghostly tufted thrush. Moisture all but now expelled, imprisoned in the phantom hell. I love that stanza, from the cherry locks all the way down to the phantom hell. The whole poem's great, but for some reason I'm really taken by that. Can't imagine whose cherry locks you might have been thinking about. But, other than the fact that she's an evil phantom from hell, I just meant it's a contrast, because the thought of the strands of cherry locks are so gorgeous, and then by the time we're done, we're at this ghostly phantom, and it's just like, whoa. So I like the contrast. I love the wording. And towards the end there, Aunt Marcy dying while under Uncle Don weeps, but through my son's still fighting his cough too, but through Oriton wind, wailing voice won't cease, with head held low and failing felt. I can't even talk now all of a sudden. What the heck? But that ending, too, where no sprites stay to see you cry. You're pretty wicked and evil when you can chase away the sprites. I love that you went with the banshee to begin with. And then back at the title, Eternal Tears of Blood. If the eternal tears weren't already a gut-wrenching, sad image, then the of blood is like, oh my goodness. So it's like really powerful. Another 10 by you, 277. Woohoo! I'm going to keep fussing because you keep bringing them. Really awesome share. And a front page pick 8 days ago. Congratulations. And then you, yeah, awesome. Let me get you some comments.
Thank you.
Hatter.
Did you say Hatter?
I did.
Yeah, you've been hanging around there, Kay. Could tell. Writing to you better. No, I'm kidding. I'm assuming Gary and Joe and Don and Marcy are real people.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I've done that too, and it adds something to the poem. When I read it a second time. For one of the shows, when I came across the names, it stuck. I wasn't ready for it. So it's a good way of personalizing the piece. Lady in Red.
Thank you, Heather.
Yeah.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, will you comment, please?
Yes, This is a great poem. I love the rhyme in it. It's a great rhyme. All good. And the story was great. I thought the last stanza was great. It could be sung. It said, with head held low and feeling felt, to fairy mound where post are dealt. No spirit stay to see you cry or sergeant dismissal, just one sigh. That's great. That's a great, great stanza, I think. Enjoyed a whole lot on the poem. Good job. And congrats on the front page pick. You've been great, man.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And I'm going to do it a little bit backwards because Frank's the next reader. So, Kay, will you comment for your husband?
Well, yeah, I like how you brought this because I know we speak about the Banshee often because it's also a topic that speaks to a lot of people. But, yeah, we'll bring in the Banshee, bring in family members because, you know, at the end of the day, the sad truth is as we get older, more family members are passing away, so I like how you honor them, bring them in there, because with the mentioning of your aunt, she had passed away last December, and yeah, you know, that was his wife of almost 50 years, so he's kind of a lost man without his other half, kind of like your mother is without her better half.
Yeah.
So I like how you honor your family members there. It's a beautiful rite.
Thank you.
Fantastic comment, Kay. And I was wrong. Hatter's the next reader, so I'm good. I hope I get my act back together because, like, I don't like making mistakes like that. Anyway, Frank, will you comment for Kay, please?
You mean for Stephen, right?
Yeah, yes. I did. I mean, yes, I do. Please comment for Stephen's poem.
Yes, first of all, I really like the analogy you steer of the Banshee. And now, you know that I know more a bit of the story in the background of your aunt, you know, your auntie and your uncle there. It does really resound here of the lore of the Banshee, you know. You know, what's remarkable about this poem is that you use the imagery of the Banshee throughout, you know, the whole poem and make a really vivid, you know. It almost seems that this poem here, I could really, like with Kay's poem, it was very intense in the sense I could really, you drew me into the imagery of this poem here, and I like the title, Eternal Tears of Blood, and I think you did an excellent job. I really like the way you encompassed this, the Banshee, you used her as your prompt, and also to the references as well, personal references to family members there. It really just made this poem even seem much more deeper, I would say.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great comment, everyone. And thank you very much, Stephen and Kay. I don't know if you can stay for Hatter. If not, I will see you Wednesday.
I hope you stay for Hatter.
I looked at my vault. Closest thing I got to Lady in Red is Red Shirt Down.
Yeah, I just looked. That's why I was hoping that Stephen would see. All right, so go ahead and take us away with the red shirt down.
Goes like this. Klingon, Andorian, Vulcan, or Borg, we red shirts can't take it anymore. We died on planets we did not know. We perished in shuttles at the start of the shows. We kicked the bucket at the name of Reich. We were vaporized by the dark of night. We are tired of his orders Captain Kirk makes. Our molecules are lost in transporter mistakes. We gave our lives for McCoy and Spock. Little did we know the farm we bought while smoking some killer Klingon weed. In a Jeffrey tube, we planted some seeds. The space weed harvest there comes too late. Kirk made out with an alien race. We got disruptors shoved in our face. Captain Kirk is fashionably late. We're taking over this ship of fools. Now pass around the Klingon gruel. Done with parties that kill two or three. Landing on planets we can't even breathe. Uhura does Rigel, then Sulu and Scott. You'd think in space. Oh, get what you got. I forgot. I didn't fix that. But Roddenberry's mind is still writing scripts as for us red shirts. It goes a little like this. Red shirt down, it's common these days. Story of space and the red shirt wave. It used to be better and actually cool to be red shirt and not star fool. These things seem to be unnaturally long. I think I'll go watch me some Babylon.
This is awesome, Heather. And the first time I didn't hear it in your voice, I heard it in my own because I had clicked off the volume. And it was just like, now I'm glad because I got to hear you read it. They would look funny in a red dress, so it's all good. And I just wanted to see you. I'm glad you brought it, especially when it makes people laugh. Stephen, you want to comment?
Yes, I do. you had me flashing to some of those pictures that you can see on the internet, like Captain Kirk talking to a bunch of red shirts saying, gentlemen, you're all going to die. I like this. A little mutiny on the Enterprise, huh? The red shirts are going to take over. They did outnumber, you know, the rest of them. So they could have taken the Enterprise and said, screw you, Kirk, you're dying. And it is true, isn't it? He was always late to save them because he was making it with some alien woman. But I did like the fact that they're growing weed in the Jeffrey's tubes of the Enterprise, too. That's stay in school, but very cool.
Dave's good.
And I like the end of it, too.
Thanks, man.
Awesome comment. And Kay, did you want to comment for Hatter? And second question, did you want to push your event, your challenge? You're welcome to.
Oh, no, yeah, I didn't do that. But, yeah, you know, I like this because the one thing I've learned, I haven't watched enough Star Trek, but the one thing I did learn from Stephen over the years, that red shirts, if you are a red shirt, it's the death of you. Mm. So if you come in and brag and say, you know, I'm a red shirt, you're going to be dead by the end of the episode. So don't brag. Keep it low.
Take that shirt off.
Yeah, take that shirt off. If somebody offers you a red shirt, say, get that away from me. This is cool. It is.
Exactly.
Red shirts are cool shit.
Thanks, Kay.
Thank you.
Fabulous comment. And did you want to push the challenge?
Okay. Yeah. I decided that this year I'm making a lot of different changes. So I have a topic that I started. It's going to be one of many, and I will be letting people know when new ones come out. But I call my topic Million Different Ways to Muse. There's a prompt there. You can bring a pre-write if you feel it fits, or you can write new to it. But in right into the prompt, I am going to be sending out a million points. The first prize winner gets 500,000 points, and then everybody else who took part, the rest of the 500,000 will be divided up between everybody who did drop for that folder.
Awesome.
Come on,
real point bank of you, Rob.
Idea.
Yeah. Jeez.
Fantastic idea. All right. Well, I appreciate you both. I will get my entry in. And I...
Yeah,
what
night's that for? What night is that for?
She has a topic board, and it's just a challenge. Like, we have a reading list challenge, and she has a challenge.
Oh.
I think it was a word, and you go and write, and the winner's going to get a half a million points, and others will get points for participation.
Well, you guys might
as
well just kick back and don't bother.
I'll send you the link. Okay, I'll send you the link so you know which one she's talking about. Kay, please. And dynamic duo, love and respect to you. And if everyone clicks on French
poem. I just have Hatter
poem.
Take a look at the board.
Aha, there you go, Hatter. Look at
the board.
he put a picture up for you.
Yeah, my tricorder.
Same time.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. I have to look. Let me see. Oh, darn it. I thought I had it in the studio. I was going to push the button. Oh, well. I don't know where it went. It's probably listed under whoever does it, whichever band or choir or whatever. So, darn it. All right. Let me keep rolling on here. Thank you both. And Frank, if everyone clicks on his poem, I will push play.
Just one disclaimer. I just want to make sure everyone doesn't get deaf after this, because there's a shriek at the end. I'm just warning.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good heads up. Okay. So do you guys see his link? I just put it up again.
Yep. Spirits of the Forbidden.
All right, here we go. Hey, the heck? Okay, let me hit refresh. Play. There you go.
A young fair maiden dressed in the tincture of scarlet satin walked into the legend of the spirits of a forbidden forest, lost in the mysticism of the mystery of surreptitious secrets, where the fairies dare not to roam in the vespers of a menacing moon. A restless murmur arose from the depth of the labyrinth of tall trees, through the thick bloom approaching from the field of the drooping daisies, as she wins straightway upon the wind of the weary way westwards, reach into verdant moss and mould, covering narrow and soily steps. The winds brushed her brunette locks in the balls, ruffled her dainty dress, as she stared up the steep hill that lied on top ahead of the strange staircase, unaware of the orchard of fruit trees dried up by flames of burgundy blood. The murdered vapors of the river turned the red roses into burnt black dahlias. She failed to heed the clear warning of the calls of the reverberating ravens, and had succumbed to the great spell of the cunning and seductive spirits, deceiving her to follow the ominous path unfolding of a daunting darkness. Winds. The tales of legends are embedded in blinding bodements. The howling of the wolves pierced the moonlight like a sharp skein, slicing through her veins and heart, a merciless thrust of bitter betrayal, as the drear pall of the night witnessed her helpless echoes with bated breath. by a jealous mortal that condemned her to wandering spirits of a forbidden forest. Can you hear her in the taut breath?
Now I'm even more glad that you gave that disclaimer, because that's like this blood-curling shriek noise. And to be honest, Frank, while it was happening, I found myself wondering if your neighbors think that you're some powerful priest or something when they hear these kind of things coming from your apartment or your,
well,
your home.
I go to the restroom, you know. I kind of, you know, the sound effects of a restroom are properly the best place where you don't. And I do it when nobody's around, you know, my roommate. I choose my time wisely.
But then, also
although
that,
I do spook my chihuahua at times.
Oh, poor baby. and then that tap in the background of like a bell or what do they call it? The triangle bell thing to it. It was really cool. And the wording, the spirits of a forbidden forest. Now, you guys, if you scroll down a little bit to my comment, you'll see the photo that Frank wrote to. And there's this stunningly beautiful woman walking down the stairs in a forest. And then you see the video that he applied where Amy Lee's there, and you can't quite tell from the video, but it's one of my favorite songs and videos, so I know she has her hood on as well there. So the combination of everything you chose. Down to Call Me When You're Sober, because, like, you never call me when it's... when you're sober, you only want me when it's over. So it's just like I the total package, and I think that it's my new favorite by you. Excellent job.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Let me get you a comment from Hatter.
I hope I'm on deaf here. I do apologize if I left someone mute there, you know, if I deafened some ears there.
Well, you warned us that we weren't prepared.
Yeah, this is great, really nice to put together, being that it had cause and effect on each one. You described something and the effect it had. That's what I got from it. Covering narrow and so let's see, where is it? As she stared at the steep hill that lied on top ahead of the strange staircase, unaware of the orchard of fruit trees dried by flames of burgundy blood, the Merlot vapors of the river turned the red roses into black burnt dyes. Well thought out. I think you just got a natural thing, Frank, that you could just you write so well. it's a compliment.
I do appreciate
old
that.
School, I mean compliment. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Comment.
Well, you know I have problems.
Yeah, you've got like a Vincent Price kind of flair there.
Yeah.
And Stephen and Kay went home to get some sleep, so... Wayne, if you would comment for Frank before we play yours.
I think there's nothing worse than wandering spirits in a forbidden forest. I know that. She hailed the heed, the clear warning of the calls of the reverberating ravens. You must heed the calls when you hear the reverberating calls of the raven. This is a fine presentation with a great mood of desperation in the pattern of Poe. I thought your presentation, the way you read it, is just a good point all the way through.
Well, I appreciate that, Wayne. I really did enjoy this piece here and the prompt. And with that saying, I'm going to have to go now. So I just wanted to stop by for a bit and check on you as well, Deb, and see if you're doing okay. And I just want to say, everyone take care. Everyone take care. Take care.
Frank, my appointment is a minute long. You got to hear my appointment is a minute long. It's coming on in a minute.
Can you wait for one more call, Frank?
Okay. I'll stick
I'll stick around
for that.
It's only a minute.
I'll stick for this one. Yes, I'll stick
for click on his link and I'll push play so you can hear it before you go. And everybody see it?
Not yet.
Okay. Say when.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
I just refreshed.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
A bit slow, my phone.
Okay, here we go.
This is called Lost King Remembered. As weeping coral queen behest, the pebble shore wiggled, waves waffled with bubbles, as whitecaps laughed and giggled. Her whiskered Captain King commanded dehydrated crew, lost labeled lifeboat, leave lifeguards veneered view. Wearing her crystal crown with her crimson velvet gown, whispered butterfly words to stop and bastard drown. Maneth month of missing men's memorial, remembered, stands and stares, shadow shared, with no voices heard. Long-haired lace lady screams putrid poems at lost mate. Dragonfly days announce crimson serrate eyes, mango weight. Puckered, porcelainized people caress cedar box center stage. Pomegranate highlights printed on perfume portrait page. In.
Awesome, and I'm going to let Frank comment first so that he can go.
Yes, I thought you did a remarkable job here. You know, of course, we all know about you know, your rhyming and your alliteration, which is always exceptional. But I like the storytelling, my friend here, which you seem to do well now. I've noticed some of these pieces here that you write narratives to. You know, and you bring the right, and you know, in the background, you bring the right music as well. I thought the music was just on par, was definitely really, really in touch with the muse, and in particular the right. I think you did a wonderful job. You know, the way you brought the weeping coral queen, you know, just makes you think about being out there, you know, out in the city and hearing her weep there, you know, for her lost love there. Really, I just really thought you did a fantastic job here. And I really am amazed here by how you can throw in a narrative. You do three things here. You bring in a wonderful narrative, and you bring your usual rhyme scheme and your alliteration scheme as well, which is not easy. This is why, you know, I've said this before, everyone has a niche, you know, and your niche is always, to me, this type of writing. You know, you seem to exemplify three different things, you know, elements into your poetry, and you seem to be very effective. You're very good at this. I mean, I really enjoy as well your SoundClouds. You know, when I hear them, you know, I notice now, Wayne, I've been noticing that the tone of your voice is a bit mellow. You really get into which is a good thing. They told me as an actor that the first thing you must do is modulate your voice to go with the tone of the music you use, or the tone of the right, or what you're reciting. And I think you're doing great in that. I've noticed this in your SoundClouds, that you're doing great with modulating your voice, with just keeping to the using your voice and using it with the music, the beat, and with the words that you recite. Great job.
That's a great comment, Frank. A very great comment. I appreciate it very much, and thank you very much. Wyoming.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend.
Awesome.
And everyone.
Awesome comment.
Take
Thank
care,
you
my
for
friend.
Staying, Frank.
Appreciate
it.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. I wish my phone would cooperate more with
time.
Me. Take care.
See you, Frank.
Try not to scare the dog.
No, I won't. She's asleep by now, my dog, so I only spook her in the morning. So.
Okay, good. At least it's not dark. Night, Frank. Okay, so Hatter? Oh, my turn to comment. I didn't get to comment. So we can let Frank go. I see what happens when I change things. But Wayne, I thought that what the poem is great, the detail is great, but for me, there was so much sympathy for her that oozed from your voice while you were reading that it really drove the poem and vested us in the woman in the photo and this king and queen. And I thought that you turned around with your words and your voice and you spun a tale and you gave it an incredible story. And you did it in three stanzas. So that's really awesome. So to take and make the story, give it history, make us feel, what a great share. And again, I have to say it to repeat myself, three stanzas for a story. I had to save that one. Great job.
Thank you. Great comment.
And Hatter, will you comment for Wayne?
Yeah. Is that what it was, Deb? Because I couldn't put my finger on it. What seemed off at first was the way he read it in the personalization of the people she's talking about. He also does something that I find remarkable. When you get to the same letter, the same shared first letter, like with whispered words to stop Mantis Month of Missing Men's Memorial, you do it almost like that. I would do it. I would trip on it just reading it. But you do it. It works. Somehow it works. It sort of amazes me because I would suggest people to not do that if they were asking me for help. I don't know why I would say that, but I probably would. But the way you do it, you get that word bank. Seems like you get things crossing off the ends, and it works every time.
That's great. Great comment, and I appreciate it.
I agree, it does work every time. And like I said, yeah, Hatter, for me, it hit like there was sympathy. He was having sympathy. But like making somebody be able to feel while they read is always a fantastic thing.
Yeah,
all right, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's five left. I'm going to read for Heavenly Angel, if you guys would click on that. It's called May We Ever Be by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Scenes frozen and captured in a clear glass menagerie rest in rose-scented thoughts deep within my essence. You are the breath of my lungs, the beat of my heart. Winds whisper our names whilst we journey together, future uncertain. But we step forward, brick by brick, on beams of euphoria. You are the inspiration for every black breath stolen as every sigh is captured upon ruby lips. Your essence is reflected within vintage silver mirrors of my being, protected from the rust of time or neglect. Let love filter through flesh as lava into tiny veins. For essence to flow top bottom and be fuel from our spirits. As for always, the cinnamon red sunrise is in collaboration with the golden glow of the moon. Selah. Wow. You know what? I don't, oh man. I'm really blown away by this one, captured in a clear glass menagerie. Wind whispers our names while we journey together. Future uncertain yet, but we step forward brick by brick on beams of euphoria. On beams of euphoria. I wish I wrote that. So many. Your essence is reflected within vintage silver mirrors of my being. Man. As for always, the cinnamon red sunrise in collaboration with the golden glow of the moon. I love the visuals there. I think that this is a breathtaking piece. Another one that won a medal already. Congratulations on that. I am very enamored by this poem, and as always, it's an honor to be your reader. Beautiful job, Angel. Hatter, what you think?
Do you think maybe she found her soulmate? I mean, every time she writes, it's like it's not about her or him, it's them. Just complete hallmark. Beautiful. Just beautiful.
I agree, yeah. Awesome comment, Hatter. Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said, you make me feel love in the air, a warm, cozy love that's pure delight. Your poems make me happy with the warm glow of the moon. I almost melted. It's a beautiful poem. I love it. Great job.
Amazing comment. Thank you much. And it's just the three of us, so we should be able to zip these out. If you want to click on Phil's poem, I will push his. And on this one as well, if you scroll to my comment while you listen, you'll see that I've added his photo in my comment line for you. And I'm going to push play now for Phil the Poet. Here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Blushing Rose. Where are you going on this cold evening, all dressed up in red like a blushing rose, sneaking through the courtyard barefoot? Your cloak flowing like blood as you run. You pause to take a final look back. You breathe out a final farewell, adieu. Your tears are lit up by the saffron moon. Apple blossom cheeks hide the shame. You glance at the window flaming with burgundy light, muttering some kind of forgiveness as you turn away. Swiftly, you pass the mulberry bush and slip away. And from behind that window where the shadows dance, stands a boy of six, watching his sister fly from view. His lily pale face filled with peppered tears of loss, clutching a book with a radish coloured cover in hand. Turns the book towards a cherry light, traces the words with small fingers, comes to a figure dressed in scarlet, softly stroking her face with melancholic sobs. Years pass by, and an old man clings to a memory. The pages of the book fade like crumbling brick. He holds the book in his cinnamon-crusted hands, weeping for the return of his sister, Little Red Riding Hood. End poem.
Fantastic. I love the way he pronounces words. It's always such a treat to get to listen to him read A Blushing Rose. Fantastic title. Let me see, where do I want to go? Towards the middle. You glance at the window, flaming with burgundy light, muttering some kind of forgiveness, turn away. Swiftly, you pass the mulberry bush and slip away. Great visuals there, but there's something about that flaming and burgundy light and muttering some kind of forgiveness. I really, really love that three-line stanza there in the middle. And then towards the end, a figure dressed in scarlet, softly stroking her face with melancholy sobs. Years pass by, and an old man clings to a memory. The thought of the old man clinging to the memory of the years passing by, of his sadness and the ache in his heart, is like, whoa. and then to find out weeping for the return of his sister, Little Red Riding Hood. So we're looking, or we're hearing the perspective and thoughts of a sibling. How cool is that? So what an original approach. And the quote that he was incorporating was, a monster, some called her, but in the shadows, only said in whispers, she was an angel in red. I really like where this was taken. Fantastic share. Thank you so much, Bill.
Can we put up a picture? Did he have a certain picture you went through too?
Yeah. Hatter, if you scroll to my comment just below, you'll see the picture in my comment. I put it.
I'm looking. Okay.
Yeah, I've been trying to put it on his comments from now on so that it will be there when you guys look at it. So,
I'm wondering, this is so, it's a great angle, but a different approach to it. I'm wondering if there was a loss in his life, maybe, that he could refer to, and then just happenstance that he used Red Riding Hood. Because it is well written. I had to go back and find where he starts with the loss of his sister. And it doesn't clearly say he's going back to remember the final farewell. I don't know if I got that right. It's a push up the rose to keep through the courtyard barefoot. What do you think, Deb? Is he going back and forth?
I don't know. It seems like she went out and he was waiting for her to return. I mean, you can't beat the odds every time you go out the original slash write anything.
Yeah. It says, and from behind that window where the shadows dance stands a boy of six watching his sister fly from view. His a lily pale face filled with peppered tears of loss, clutching a book with a radish colored cover in hand.
Yeah, I think he did knit. If you look at the picture, there's like a building behind her, so he could be tucked in there. I really, really like that he gave us a new aspect of this.
Yeah. Yeah, and then to tie it all up at the end with Red Riding Hood, it's a great, great approach.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Thank you. And Wayne, can you comment for Phil?
Yeah, I can. My cats and they're going crazy on me. I said, wow, Little Red Riding Hood's brother. This is simply a masterpiece. Your words are wonderful. Find out it's a sister, and then find out it's the picture, and find out it's a Little Red Riding Hood. It was a great storyline, kind of a neat all the way through. Always had a little surprise for us. Great job on this. I loved it. I got to go feed my cat.
You there, Deb? Baby, she's not out of power.
I was talking to my mute button. I'm glad you said that. I'm thinking, why is he calling me? Doesn't he hear me? And I'm going, have him. And then I looked, I was muted. My own fault. Okay, so we're down to the last three. I think we need to feed his cat. Did I just hear him say that? Okay. I'm going to read for Al. Do you see the poem header?
Refresh. It's been in the West Coast. I always get the last. Just like the okay. Okay, I'll lift the group and ready and go. Alf.
Okay, this is called When the Blues Died by Alf Collier. Here we go. Through the blush of midnight's hangover, still skulking beneath a mantle of steel gray, she relinquished her paprika shadow. Scarlet silk whispered her walk. as bare feet caressed the tread of stone steps. Her passage breathed on the still evening in liquid quietude. Ruby fingernails flashed muffled moonbeams as she hurled wine-curled curses into the darkness. Beneath the lacework of her mantilla, torturing her blues in flame, and spoke her mantra of murder. Wow. He always has such an interesting way of approaching the word banks. Beginning through the blush of midnight's hangover, still skulking beneath a mantle of steel gray, she relinquished her paprika shadow. I love that. And if you look at the area around her on those stairs, you know, I could see the tint of paprika, but I would have never thought of it. I mean, you know, paprika shadow is, you know, people, me, I tend to put dark or the gray or the charcoal, but paprika is really cool. And as bare feet caressed the tread of stone steps, her passage breathed. It's still evening in liquid quietude. Liquid quietude is a really cool thought, and it made me wonder if some of the liquid in the quietude was because she was crying alone in the silence. But man, butchering her blues in a flame and spoke her mantra of murder. Whoa. So it was like pretty vicious. And he used the quote, "When I haven't any blue, I use red," by Pablo Picasso. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. What do you think, Alf? Oh, and Alf, it was my honor to be your reader. Thank you for sending the pen.
Real quick, what is mantilla? Do we know?
What is mantilla? It's like that veil on your head. It's a Spanish lace veil.
Oh.
See the thing around her head? That's a mantilla.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. Okay. Yeah, the use of the colors, like you said, the paprika was a nice touch. Ruby fingernails flashed muffled moonbeams as she hurled wine-curdled curses into the darkness beneath the lacework of her mantilla. It's all here. Spoke of her blue in flames. I did read that, too. Yeah, and one thing I do want to mention, Pablo Picasso was an outstanding artist. He was just into cubism at the end of his career. That's what we all associate, the cubism and the sort of weirdness of that. But when he went through his blue period, Picasso, you should see some of his artwork. He was a modern-day master, for sure. I find that frustrating when you speak of Picasso, you immediately go to the cubism. I mean, don't you? That's what you see. That's what I see. But when I researched some of his early stuff, his blue period is outstanding. It's good for anybody. But this is a nice piece, nice quote to, "When I have any blue, I use red." Yeah.
Awesome. Go ahead.
Like when they called me insane, I just smiled and kept painting the sky.
Sorry. Yeah.
Nice job.
Wayne, are you back? Oh, okay. Now, let me see here. Where are we? All right. We have crystals and we have alleys. So let's do those and we will shut down. I am putting crystals on the board right now. Let me just look in that window and see, make sure she's not up there.
Is this really a recording?
What's that? Crystal?
Is this a recording?
Yeah. No. The last two have to be read. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So crystals is called Red Pepper Flakes Bleed by Crystal Hope. Snow castle locked up in a cage.
empty, left for nothing in rage. Crimson laced in lost memories, draped in poisoned remedies. A cluster of cold lies unraveled to the roads less traveled. Wandered in a frosty wonderland as unknown path to the aftermath. Eyes blurry over fogged windows, burying whiskers over weeping lungs. Burgundy brick walls hinder her wings as passion dies in forbidden things. Withered, tackled by a red rose heart, green vines trembling apart. Snowflakes melt on her barren skin as rusted black ink bleeds within. Carrying a boulder of peppered tears, tied with amber flames, she disappears. Oh, my goodness. That one gutted me. There's so much locked in the cage. A cluster of cold lies unraveled to the roads less traveled. Man, oh man. Eyes blurry over fogged windows, burying whispers over weeping willows. So much sadness and pain in here, and snowflakes melt on her barren skin as rusted black ink bleeds within. And then that closing couplet it's just done. It's gone, dead, disappeared in flames. Wow. I totally unexpected as far as the photo and and gripping as normal, but in a sad, painful, right, I could feel the pain, the ache, even maybe a bit of anger over the lies. Damn, Christmas, your pen's getting so powerful. Whew, that one, my palms are actually sweating after that one. I think about that. But what a great share, Crystal, and I was, of course, honored to be your reader. Powerfully emotional, damn. Hatter, what do you think?
Let me ask, this is probably going to be a dumb question. Did Crystal always rhyme?
I don't know if I would say always, but this is definitely a different rhyme pattern for her.
Because it's spot on.
I was going to say she. Again, I say I don't know if I would say always. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if she has. I think more often it's like a B type of thing. But no, she's definitely a rhymer because sometimes her cadence is pretty close to yours, and in some of her games. She's drawn a line, and
yeah.
I would have thought it was you and her. So, yeah, this was very versatile, in my opinion.
Well, she's doing it to impress me. She did a very good job.
Right?
Okay. She doesn't do it to impress me. I was joking. It was funnier in my head.
No, it was cute. I'm going to have you read the last one of the night. Okay?
Okay.
No big deal.
Try that.
No big deal.
Okay. And since I said something there, you guys could be talking. So I just cool down. Come on. So, Deborah.
Yes.
Was that the best weekend of football you have ever seen in your life?
I know. Edge of your seat. Unbelievable games. Some surprises. I'm sorry, but I've never seen so many things go wrong for Tom Brady as long as I've been watching football. And then on top of it, to get the first ever unsportsmanlike conduct foul in his life. What a game. But anyway.
I want to get out of here, so please read, Blake.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the damn. Hold on. You give me one job, and come on.
It's all good. Just relax.
Okay, there you are. And there's Heavenly Angel. There is Phil the Poet. There is Alf. And then somebody talked, and I lost it all. Oh. Shoot. Hold on. I had the group, and there it is. Okay, nobody move. Nobody say anything. There's Alf. There's Crystal Hope. And there's Allie. I'm doing Allie?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. It's called Ladies in Red? Question mark. I want to be different. See me as a different person. Not one like the rest of the people around me. Now I must ask, do apples and radishes go together? Apples are green, radishes are red. This creates a Christmas dress. Do popsicles and watermelon go together? Popsicles are rainbow. Watermelons have three colors. Imagine wearing a watermelon-colored outfit with popsicles on it. You get some odd looks, right? But you are yourself. So why do we take others' judgment so intensely? Lastly, if taffies are a rainbow of colors and flavors, if they all go together, why can't people become similar to a taffy? Being similar, hold on, I got a call coming in. Being similar, come on. Being similar to a taffy, being similar but showing our differences. Why does being different scare so many people? I'm in the poem. I'm sorry, I had a call come in. It took about a screen for a second. So, be like taffy. That is different.
Yeah, you know, I think is pretty powerful stuff itself. I want to be different. See me as a different person, yeah. Not one like the rest of the people around me. I think that we all want to be different. We all want to stand out. And I like that she started it out with, I want to be different. But what really gets me is, lastly, if taffies are a rainbow of colors and flavors, but all together, why can't people become similar to a taffy? What a great question. Like, why can't we? Why can't we just coexist in a good way and not always be picking at each other? And why can't we celebrate differences rather than teasing and bullying for it? I like the message that she threaded in here. And who would have thought, Ladies in Red? Okay, yes, popsicles and lollipops. Most of the time, a kid wants red and red lollipop and a red popsicle. But why not be different? Like, personally, I would like a lime or an orange. I really, really, my favorite part of this is the message that she leaves us all with. Why does being different scare so many people? It's definitely food for thought. What a way to close out the show. Why do people get so scared by people who are different? Great share, Allie. You said you didn't know if it was good. I think it's fantastic with a great message. And Hatter, thank you for reading. Why don't you give her a comment?
Do a comment? I thought I did. I like the radishes and the apple. That was different. That pretty much what you said. Look at different. I was blown away by the difference when she said I'm going to be a little different. I totally wasn't expecting this. But, yeah, things that should go together and don't, or things that you wouldn't normally put together that do. Yeah, the melting pot is a struggle theory. Yeah. I don't know why. Why can't. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you, Heather. So here we are, the end of the show, and I'm just going to remind everyone that tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern, it will be January 25th here, but it will be January 26th in Australia. And on January 26th in Australia, they celebrate Australia Day. And this is AP's annual show, and on this particular show, he's going to cover a couple of topics. He includes the subject of whether the date should be changed, and I shared some of the information as to why. And then he's also going to discuss a treaty that's being called for within Australia and between Australia's newer residents and the Aboriginal residents to sign the treaty and give them more rights. So it should be a really informative show. And I also filled his topic board with 10 facts about Australia that maybe we didn't know. I'll just give one, like an interesting fact that Australia's Alps get more snow than the Swiss Alps. I didn't think there was much snow there, so that's fascinating. So there's all kinds of great information on the page, and I'm sure AP will share more information tomorrow night at 11. And then on Wednesday night, you can hang out with Hatter, and if she's feeling better, my sweet's going to co-host with him, and they're going to tribute Meatloaf, Raw Side and his pumpkin, and that's at 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. And I'll leave it there for the moment because I don't know if she will be up for doing a show on Thursday because she's not feeling fantastic. I'm hoping she feels better. Shout out to Gerald, who wasn't able to do a poem tonight like he always does because he's not feeling well. I hope he gets better. And to everyone out there fighting these colds and germs and just anything. Hang on, fight hard, we miss you. And on that note, Heather, I'm going to say thank you for always being there. You're the best big brother ever. And I'm going to tell everyone love and respect. And since we started with the lady in red, we're going to go out with Heather because it's not the same if we don't get to hear his song. So here we go. Sung by Jout Even Shy and written by the one and the only Jim Hatter. Night, everyone.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down. Thank you. are you telling me?